Well, last time we were together, we were looking at Jesus coming into a temple and cleansing the temple. Do you remember? And how he came and just made a whip of cords and drove them all out. And he did it for a reason. He was zealous for the house of God. They had corrupted it. They were going in the wrong direction. Friends, we have all corrupted. These temples have been corrupted by sin. But Jesus Christ is willing to come and cleanse our temples. We are the temples of God. When we accept Christ as our Savior, he comes in. We become that house of prayer. So it was a pretty dramatic thing to do, though. It was pretty bold to actually just come into that temple where they've been, you know, the Pharisees and the rulers, all the religious priests were there, and they've been doing things the same way for so long, and Jesus comes in and he upsets their whole apple cart. How do you think they felt about that? They weren't very happy with Jesus. They weren't happy with him because sometimes he would point to them and say, "You bunch of snakes." That's what John the Baptist actually called them. That's what he said, a brood of vipers. And he pointed to them. He said, "Look, you look good on the outside. You're like a tomb. It looks all nice and white and whitewashed on the outside, but inside is full of dead men's bones." So he didn't give them a very easy pass. But there was a reason for that. It's because they were being willful in their rejection of God. And we're going to see this here. But today what I want to do is talk about the authority of Jesus Christ. I mean, look, if somebody came up to you and they said, "I'm telling you right now, I want you to change the whole course of your life. I want you to quit your job and I want you to move to England," for example. Just an example. What would be your first reaction if some stranger came up and said that to you? "When are we leaving?" Okay. Not likely. Why? Okay. That's probably more like it, yeah. In other words, what gives you the right to tell me what to do, right? Isn't that a fair question? Where do you get off telling me what to do? Where are you getting your authority from? Why should you have any authority over my life? And those are fair questions, friends. And the question that rises up is, why should Jesus Christ have any authority over your life? Can't I run my own life any way I want to? I've been given this life. I can live it any way I want. In one sense, you can, but there are always consequences for what we do. But there is a God in heaven, friends, and there is a God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And so the question then rises up is, who is this man that he could do these things? And look what happens here. After he cleansed the temple, it says in Luke 19:47, he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. They didn't like him. Okay, that's pretty plain, right? And were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. They said, we got to get rid of this guy. How are we going to do it? They were making plots. They were making plans. You find, look in some of the other gospels, and they said, we just got to get rid of him. At one point, he raised a guy named Lazarus from the dead. And the guy was walking around. He had been 4 days dead. And so it was just, this was beyond. So they said, we've got to stop him somehow. And then they said, well, we're going to have to kill that Lazarus guy too, right? We'll have to kill him again, right? Because he's walking evidence here. They were trying to control this situation. The outbreak, that's right. Listen, who are we to think we can control God? God is going to do what he's going to do. And in this circumstance, it says, in one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. Oh, preaching the gospel is a good thing, friends. Jesus did it. I'm going to do it. And it's great to do it. That the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" Pretty straightforward, isn't it? They were going to challenge him. They were going to say, "You don't have this authority." That's really what they felt. Who do you think you are? You coming into our temple and driving everything out and telling us off and raising dead people and healing sick people and hanging around with sinners, and you're not doing things the right way here, and you've got no authority to do it. What gives you the right? What was his answer? You know what his answer was? You see, not only did Jesus have all the authority, but he also had all the brains too. He knew just what to answer them. You see, he knew it would be different if they were coming in humility. They had no humility. They had no desire to know the right answer. They were challenging him because they wanted to get rid of him. What did we already read? They wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. That was their plan. So Jesus, I tell you what, friends, if you're coming to Jesus with a genuine, heartfelt, humble question, he'll answer it. He will answer it. He will reveal. He will reveal it. But it will be hidden from those who have no intention of truly seeking God. They had no intention of seeking the Lord. Their plot was to kill him. And so he says to them, I'm going to ask you one thing, and you answer me. He says, oh, okay. Jesus often did this. He answered a question with a question. And, you know, that's a good way to teach, because what that does is it gets, you know, you thinking, right? Well, these guys, he says, I want you to know. I want you to tell me, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men? Now, John the Baptist was popular among the people. They reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say it's from heaven, he'll say, well, why didn't you believe him? Because they didn't believe John the Baptist. And they made that plain that they didn't believe him. But if we say it's from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So what he did is he asked them a question that trapped them. He asked them a question that trapped them. They were scared to answer his question, right? He put them in a position where what could they say? If we say that we believe John, well, who did John point to? Who did John say was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world? Who was it? Jesus. John continually was testifying about Jesus Christ. He was saying, that's the Messiah. That's the Savior. If they say that, our goose is cooked. Right? If we say, no, John the Baptist wasn't a prophet of God, they knew they would be in trouble with the crowds because everybody knew that John was a prophet of God. You know why they knew John was a prophet of God? Because he spoke with authority. There's an authority that comes from God that it takes willful going against God to deny the authority that comes from God. And John the Baptist had that authority from God. And Jesus, of course, had that authority. And so they were caught. So what they said in the end, we don't know where it was from. Which was really a lie, wasn't it? It was all this was out of convenience. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So it's almost funny when you look at this story, seeing how Jesus said, okay, listen, you guys are playing a game here. You don't care about John the Baptist. You don't care about the truth. You don't care about whether it's a truth or a lie. All you care about is your self-preservation. So, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to expose you right here in where your heart is really at. And that's where it was. You can see they didn't care about the truth. All they cared about was the consequences. Do you see that? Pretty plain, isn't it? Absolutely. And so he says a parable. He began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, and he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country for a long time. Now at vintage time, that is when the time was come to gather the grapes, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. So he sends a servant back. So again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. So this is a story that Jesus is saying, but he's saying it for a reason. Again, he sent a third one, and they wounded him also, and they cast him out. Well, the owner of the vineyard was getting tired of this. Three servants sent, come back with nothing, and getting beaten up in the process. So the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I'll send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. This is the one that's going to get the vineyard. Let's kill him. And then the inheritance will be ours. Let's wipe him out. Let's get rid of him. So they cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. So what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? So why was Jesus telling this story? Yeah? Okay. So the master of the vineyard is the Father, God, right? He gave the truths of the Word of God to the people of the Jews, the Israelites. He gave them all these promises. He sent them prophets. And you know what they did with the prophets in the Old Testament? They killed them, they stoned them, they rejected all the prophets, all through the Old Testament. Jesus is telling a story to illustrate what these people were doing. And now the Father says, okay, he sent the prophets in past times, but now who has he sent? He sent his Son. He sends his beloved Son. Do you notice that? His beloved Son. He sends his only Son. He sends Jesus from heaven to go to earth looking for fruit. Looking for reality, looking for something good, looking for transformation, looking for change. And what do? They kill him, right? Cast him out. We don't want him. We're going to run our own lives. We're going to do our things our own way. We're going to take possession. Listen, you don't have that authority. God has that authority. And so what happens? He says, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? Luke 20:16. He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. He's going to destroy the vine dressers. They're going to fall under judgment. Now, this was mercy. Jesus was warning them because what they were doing, he was saying, you're the ones that killed the prophets in the Old Testament. He said that earlier when he talked to the Pharisees. He says, your ancestors killed the prophets, and now he's on the scene, and you persecuted, you drove them out, and now the precious Son of God is standing before them, and they want to get rid of him. That's all they could think of. I want to get rid of him. We want to get rid of him. How are we going to get rid of him? They were not listening. They were not willing. And he was giving them a great warning here because he says this. He said he will come and destroy those vineyards and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, you see, they understood the parable he was saying to them. They said, certainly not. That's what they said. They said, no way. That's not us. We're not going to do that. That's not us. Did they do it? Yeah, they crucified him. Did they win? No. No, they didn't win. And here's what he says to them. He looked at them and said, and he quotes a scripture from the Old Testament. What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It's a picture of a building. And when you're putting a building up in those days, you laid a cornerstone. The cornerstone is the stone that the whole building was built off of. It was the plumb line. If the cornerstone was faulty, then the whole building was faulty. If it was crooked, the whole building was crooked. But if the cornerstone was straight, then every stone was measured off of that cornerstone to build the entire building. It was called the chief cornerstone. And it says here, the stone which the builders rejected has become what? The chief cornerstone. Who rejected? Israel rejected the stone who is Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, he says this, whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. He says, listen, we need to be broken people. We need to be a repentant people. We need to fall on Jesus and trust him as our Savior. But listen, if you're going to allow yourself to be judged, if you're going to reject Jesus Christ, he will fall on you and grind you to powder. He says, listen, you're tampering with your eternity here. You're tampering. You think that you can take the authority over God. You can't. Now, how does that translate to you in our lives? Where does that put us? Is Jesus Christ the final authority in your life? Does he have a right to have that final authority? Why would he have the right to have that final authority? Tell me why. I mean, it's just like this. I'm telling you this. Okay, I'm going to say something to you. Unless you accept Christ as your Savior, I don't care how many churches you go to, I don't care how many prayers you say, unless you actually accept Christ as your Savior, unless you repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will never get into God's heaven. You won't. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, am I speaking in my own authority? No, I'm speaking in the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, he says that. So the question is, do you accept the authority of Jesus or don't you? Well, that just depends on who Jesus is, doesn't it? If Jesus does have that final authority, don't fool with him. Don't try to trick. You think that you can deceive him. You can make yourself something that you're not. You're either lost today or you're saved today. Which one are you? And I want to tell you, you can be saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, and you'll be lost if you don't. And it's by under the authority of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some of the verses that go with that. And so what it says here, they didn't stop. You see, they wouldn't stop. So they decided, we've got to get him. How are we going to get him? Well, listen, the Romans had ruled over the Israelites, and they had Roman money. But the Jews had their own money too. The Jews wanted to use their own money for stuff, and they hated Roman money. But they had to pay taxes to the Romans because they conquered them. And they couldn't pay them in Jewish money. The Romans didn't want it. So they had to get Roman money and give it to them, which meant they were paying taxes. They didn't want the Jews to reign over them. And if you refused to pay the tax, which a lot of Jews had done, they tried to cause civil war, we refused to pay the tax, then they were severely judged by the Romans, and you would be considered a treason, and you could be put to death for it. So they were hoping that Jesus, when they came to Jesus, they said to him, the chief priests and scribes at a very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against him. So they watched him, and they sent spies who pretended to be righteous, that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. They had no idea who they were dealing with, did they? They thought that they could deliver him. So then they asked him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly." Oh, the butter's flying now, right? "We know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but you teach the way of God in truth." What a pile of malarkey. Everything they said was true, but they didn't believe a word of it, did they? No, not a word of it. So then they said, "Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now, what they wanted to do was to trick him up, because if they said, he said, "No, you don't pay the taxes to Caesar," they would report him to Herodias, and they would have him arrested for treason. If he said, "It's lawful to pay the taxes," then half of the Israelites would be all mad at him because you didn't want them to pay the taxes. So you figured, we're going to get him in trouble either with the Romans or we'll get him in trouble with the Jews, one or the other. We've got him on this question. We've got him in a corner. He can't do anything about it now, right? But he perceived their craftiness. And he said to them, "Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have?" That was the coin. They said, "Caesar's." So Caesar's inscription was on it. He said to them, "Well, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." What could they say to that? They said, "Hey, his picture's on it. Give it back to him." Right? His picture's on it. Right? And the other one, well, things that are God's. So he just shut them up. What did they say? They could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answer, and they kept silent. He shut them up. Jesus Christ will reign, friends. Now, I want to tell you something. You can come up with all the fancy arguments you want to dispel the truth that Jesus has to say. It won't work. He'll win in the end. He does have that authority. He has so much authority that there's nowhere else for you to go. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, he came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And because he has all that authority, he says, "Now I want you to go. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He has this authority, and in his authority, he sent people to go and preach the truth and baptize and make disciples. He sent us out to do that. So I'm not coming in my own authority. I don't preach in my own authority. My own authority is useless. But I come under the authority of Jesus Christ, and I proclaim what his words are, because his words are what will count. Jesus said this in John 12:48. "He who rejects me does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So, I mean, I could tell you that if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you'll be lost for eternity. Well, did I make that up? Did Jesus give words that he has spoken that that will judge you in that last day. It will. What he says counts, and what he says stands, friends. You must understand that. It's so important. And so we know that Jesus had the glory of the Father with him before the world was. You see that? Some people think Jesus just came into existence at some point, but he was eternally with the Father, John 17:5. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus had that glory, and he had that authority. Jesus has authority over nature. What did he do? He calmed the wind and the waves, didn't he? Yeah. He had that authority over demons. They came and they fell down before him and they cried, "What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the Most High?" He has authority over demons. He has authority over death. How does he have authority over death? Look what he says in John 10:17. "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." You think the Pharisees got him at a weak moment and killed him and he didn't even know what was going on? He said, "I lay down my life." Yes, wicked men took Jesus and they crucified him, but Jesus knew what he was doing all along. He was still in control. "I lay it down. Look, no one takes it from me." You see that? "But I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down." And what else? "And I have the power to take it again. This command I've received from my Father." He had the authority over death. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? You know, you think, "Oh yeah, well, Jesus was dead. How could he raise himself?" Because some people think when people die, they cease to exist. No, he didn't cease to exist. How could he raise himself from the dead? Do you know what he said when they came and when he had cleansed the temple and they challenged him? They said, show us a sign that you can do these things. And Jesus answered them and said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." It took 46 years for us to build this temple, they said. "Well, will you raise it up in 3 days? But then the Bible says he spoke of the temple of his body. "Destroy this temple," which they tried to do. They crucified him. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," Jesus said. He rose himself from the dead. Incredible truth. You'll find through the scriptures three things about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You'll find the Father rose him from the dead. You'll find the Spirit rose him from the dead. You'll find he rose himself from the dead. All three are true. God in his fullness involved in the resurrection of his Son. But he had that kind of authority. He has authority over death. He has authority over humanity. As we already said, all judgment is what it says here. John 5:22. Look at what it says. "The Father judges no one, but has committed how much judgment to the Son?" All judgment to the Son. Why? So that all should honor the Son just, or this is this word "just as," it means equal to. That all should honor the Son equal to the same honor they give the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, friends. He's none other than that. And in all his authority and in all his power, he is the one who is ruling over all things. And so when we consider these things and the authority of Jesus Christ as the divine ruler, as the one who has come, as God who has become man, who went to the cross to take the punishment for our sins, who went to the cross to win us, we find a deeply compassionate, loving Savior. We've already seen the passion of Jesus in a previous sermon just a couple of weeks ago. What did he do over Jerusalem? He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over it and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, you that stones the prophets, how often I would have gathered you as a hen would gather his chicks under its wings, but you would not." What love and what mercy and what grace is extended. And the warnings that he gives in these passages, these warnings and the parables that he said was to warn them, was to encourage them to turn away from their sin and to turn to him. But they refused. He has this authority, friends. And I want to encourage you with all my heart that you will listen to Jesus Christ. Not just listen, but respond to him. When he says, "Repent, repent." When he says, "Come to me, come to him." You know, they came to arrest Jesus at one point in his ministry. They sent some soldiers to get him. They came back empty-handed. And they were, "Why didn't you arrest him? How come you're doing this?" You know what their answer was? "Never did a man speak like this man, because he spoke with one who had authority." There's a ring of authority that comes from the Word of God that does not come from the Word of man. The Word of God has the final authority, friends. Not the words of other people. Not the whatever other people think or whatever they can come up with as ideas. They do not match the authority of Scripture. The authority of Scripture is supreme. And that authority comes from Jesus Christ Himself. And He has given that authority. That authority still reigns in this world. Through the Word of God it reigns, and through those who proclaim the truth it reigns. So when I speak the Word of God, and I speak the truth of the Word of God, there I know this. There is an authority that goes with it that is a powerful thing. It cuts through a lot of stuff because it's God's Word. The Bible says it pierces and divides right as if it went to the joints and the marrow, right inside. God has that kind of authority. And under His authority, I say to you today, you need Jesus Christ. And you need Him as your own Savior. You need Him to be the Lord in your life. You need Him to tell you what to do. Because you don't know the way home without Him. And that's what's really important. Do you have Christ? Are you bending to His authority? Are you acknowledging, Lord, You're the judge of heaven and earth. You are the boss of my life. And if what rises in your heart is, what authority do You have to control me? I can do my own thing. Then you're just like the Pharisees, and you will have the same consequences of them if you turn away from Him. I think the most important thing that you need to decide is a decision that was given to a man named Pilate many years ago. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you bow before His authority, or do you think you'll establish your own? I'm sorry, but it will be crushed. And in mercy and love, I say to you today, Jesus Christ is inviting you to come and bow to His authority in your life. Don't turn away from that. You do have a choice, but the consequences are His words will judge you in the last day. Father, I thank You today for the mercy that You extend towards us. I thank You, Lord. Lord, why would we want to find some way to wiggle out from under Your authority? But rather, Lord, we should come running to You, whose arms are open wide, who says, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank You, Lord, that You're willing to save us. You're willing to fill us with Your Spirit. You're willing to give us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. You're willing to rescue us from the power of sin, from the punishment of sin, and eventually from the presence of sin. And yet, Lord, oh, why would we hang back? Oh, God, cause us to come running to You. Lord, break down those foolish arguments that we would have against You, just as these men came with their foolish arguments, oh God. That didn't really matter at all. They wanted to have their own agenda. They wanted things their own way, and they didn't like You upsetting their apple cart. Lord, upset our apple carts. Tip them over, God. Do whatever You need to do, oh God, that we might fall before You and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because You are the Lord of all. And we bow before You today and we give You our hearts afresh. Oh God, You reign and You rule, Lord. You can rule in my heart today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.